Welcome back to Creative Therapy Umbrella. This is a place where we talk about all different types of creative arts therapies, expressive therapies, and creative approaches to therapy. My name is Kate Shannon. I am a board-certified music therapist and licensed professional clinical counselor, and I am your host. Today's episode is so much fun, and I'm really, really excited for you to hear Kate and Bodhi talk about not only the amazing stuff that they do individually, but also this beautiful collaborative business and project that they've brought to life together. So Kate Beaver. She is a board-certified music therapist, and she's the owner of Maine Music and Health, which provides music therapy services and education. She's a percussionist who performs in a number of musical groups. And Bodhi Simpson is a registered art therapist with a private practice in Waterville, Maine, called Conscious Art Therapy. And Bodhi and Kate are co-creators of expressive wellness workshops, trainings, and retreats. And it is really, really awesome to hear not only, again, what they're doing individually, but how they came together to create this collaborative project and business, and now where it's going and how they're serving. It's just amazing. And I reached out to them because I was just so excited to find creative arts therapists who are working with each other across disciplines, because that really doesn't seem to happen too often. So Bodhi and Kate dive into so many different places in this episode. And I think the best part is they are so encouraging of reaching out to another therapist in, you know, that might be outside of your modality that you might want to collaborate with. So this episode is chock full of so much sweet goodness. So I hope you enjoy this one. Before we dive in, just a reminder, if you're a music therapist and you're looking for, if you're feeling burned out, if you're feeling out of ideas, if you want to expand your creativity in your music therapy sessions, the Out of the Music Box course is still on sale for one more week, and that's on sale through Music for Kiddos. That's a collaborative project I got to do with Stephanie Level from Music for Kiddos. She was on episode like 3. I hope to have her on again soon. I was just on her podcast. She is so sweet and so awesome. But this course is definitely for you if you feel like you're just burnt out, you need more ideas. There's a 60-page workbook, tons of videos that go with it, lots of actual just interventions that you can bring into your sessions and ideas that are great starting points to jump off of, but ways to bring in different things like movement, yoga, art and sensory experiences, and bringing all of those things into your music therapy session, of course, within your scope of practice. So expanding your creativity and the creativity that you bring into your sessions. So that link will be in our show notes if you are interested in that. And now without further ado, let's dig into some more awesome creative collaboration and check out Kate and Bodhi. Okay, Kate and Bodhi, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Hello.
Yes. So pumped to have you guys. We've just been figuring out some awesome tech loops and getting lost in the ether, but we're finally here and so excited to dive into what you both do in the community and what you do together. So thank you both for being here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks so much for having us.
Absolutely. So for our listeners, whenever we have one or more guests, I like if you can just say your name and introduce yourself and maybe what type of therapist you are, because our listeners know a little bit about you from the bios that I've already read, but just so that they can connect your voice to who you are. So Kate, why don't you go first for us?
Sure. I'm Kate Beaver, and I'm a board-certified music therapist.
Awesome. And Bodhi.
Yes, and I'm Bodhi Simpson, and I'm a registered art therapist.
Awesome. And you both do so much stuff, not only individually, but then you do some really amazing things together. I'd love our listeners to hear just a little bit about what you both do in your private practices and kind of separately before we dive into the collaborative work that you do. So maybe, Kate, you can take us away again back to what you do in your practice.
Sure. Yeah. My practice is called Maine Music and Health, and it's celebrating its 10th year of business this year, which is exciting.
Yay.
Yes. I mostly work in medical settings, so people in oncology and brain injury and some developmental disabilities. So I work at the hospital here in Portland, Maine, a couple days a week, although that's obviously been different during COVID. And then my private practice outside of that is mostly in-home sessions. And then I have a couple office locations where I can see people as well. So it's grown over the years, but yeah, it's been fun. And then I do a lot of sort of side projects. So this year I've been building percussion walls for clients, for people, like sort of adaptive instrument playgrounds, I guess would be a good way to describe it, which is super fun.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Getting creative during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. And congrats on 10 years. That's exciting. Yeah, that's a huge feat. Yeah. Yes.
Feels good.
Yes. Awesome. And Bodhi, how about you?
Yes, I have a private practice in Central Maine. And as an art therapist, my role is I assist people in learning how to express themselves in creative ways. And a lot of times it's just really helping people kind of remember what that feels like to be vulnerable, kind of like when we're little kids. And once they've kind of learned how to express themselves through creativity, another part of my role is just to help people learn how to build a relationship with what they created and to learn more about themselves and their world through what they created. And as with Kate, we actually met kind of passing in the night doing our many different collaborations over the years. I collaborate with many different organizations and individuals. I'm a teaching artist over at the Colby College Museum of Art, and I do a lot of workshops for the community with the Peter Alfond Healthy Living and Prevention Center at Maine General in Augusta, and just a lot of different collaborations.
Yes. Oh, that is awesome. That work sounds beautiful too. I love the part that you said of connecting, like reconnecting with art and what it means to us, and like building that relationship. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it's important.
It is. Mm-hmm. Something I think we can lose a lot as we get older too, like when we lose that childhood connection.
Definitely.
I think about that a lot lately when we're always focused on evidence-based work, which is great, but you get kind of lost in like research and stuff. And then at the end of the day, it's like we're making music, and it just brings people back to this playfulness and creativity, and that's where the magic is. So it kind of gets lost in the intellectual realm sometimes, but it's great to just sort of let people experience that, which I think is what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like bringing us all back to humanity, like what it means to be human.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to quantify that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hard to put that into numbers. And I was just reading that too. And I was reading, it's a book by Kathy Melchiotti, Trauma and Expressive Arts Therapy. Mm-hmm. And there was a section in that talking about how it's so hard to quantify and to put the arts and creativity and the human experience of that into data. You know, how do you reduce that? It's very reductionist.
Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes you have to, you know, for funding or applying for grants and stuff. And it's possible. It's just, it gets frustrating.
Takes us away from that relationship.
Mm-hmm. There is a lot more science now today, though.
Oh, there's
tons.
From
when we were all in school, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lots more there. That's awesome. And can you guys tell us a little bit about what you guys do together too? Because you have this really beautiful thing you've created together. What does that look like?
Do you want to explain it?
Yeah, I can start. Yeah, we haven't really talked about it very much. We've just kind of just done it. I feel
it
kind of like what I mentioned before. Kate and I were kind of like ships passing in the night. We were realizing we were on similar journeys with art therapy and music therapy and just bringing awareness to the community here in Maine. And I think we met Kate at your Creative Health Conference.
Yeah. I used to run, I sort of started this conference because I wanted to bring all the arts modalities, all the therapists together, and also provide an opportunity for other therapists, you know, like speech and OT and PT and social workers to learn from us. So I started this conference at USM called Creative Health, and all of us arts therapist sort of did different trainings, I guess. And that lasted 3 years. And then it was supposed to come back in 2020 at Bates College and then obviously got canceled. So we're hoping it'll be this fall, but we'll see.
Fingers crossed.
And Bodhi and I met there. And then Bodhi started doing her own symposium, which was much more sort of hands-on, experiential, which is beautiful. And that was more for arts therapists to sort of benefit from getting together. So great. Yeah. Think alike,
I feel like, yeah, I feel like we've been inspired by each other in a lot of different ways. So yeah, I went to Kate's conference and then I was like, ooh, I want to create, like, we called it the Self-Compassion Symposium. Yeah. And I collaborated with Steph Simmet from Many Moons Psychotherapy in Freeport. And we invited people from all different disciplines of the expressive arts therapies. So we had Kate come and we had some dance and movement therapists and other art therapists. And, you know, I'll just have somebody offering poetry. And what happened there was the model was it was for everybody. But if you happen to be an expressive arts therapist, you know, we could also get a certificate. And because it was being taught by a master's level clinician, and we could talk about how to use it with clients, but we found that it was just so valuable to be experiencing each other's modalities and to see what that felt like. And so, I don't know, I kind of feel like from those two conferences, Kate, you and I were, we're really inspired to do more.
Yeah. And then we got asked to do a training together for this other organization that trains, like DSPs and
Substance abuse therapists.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Specific kinds of counselors. So we did a couple of trainings and we were like, wow, this is a thing we should just be doing all the time.
Yeah. We had so much fun and we were like, we feel like we're offering more together almost than we do separately. Cause we would, it's almost like we helping engage all the senses and I don't know.
And it's sort of evolved too, because it used to be, you know, a PowerPoint presentation and just like explaining what we do. And we were like, well, this, you know, it's like dancing about architecture. You have to experience it. So we, although I don't love that phrase, because I think you can dance about architecture actually, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Yeah. So we combined them. So now, even if we do a training that's going to get people continuing ed credits, we try to make it really hands-on so that they are learning about what they might do as therapists, but they're experiencing it. Because I think it's too easy for people to just be like, oh, it's art and music, and you just, you know, get out some instruments and get out some paint and ta-da.
And I think that's another reason why Kate and I felt this need or desire to really speak for our professions, because we found there were a lot of therapists that were actually advertising that they were doing these modalities. And so we really wanted to educate people, you know, so whenever we do our clinical trainings or our experiential trainings for the community, we let everybody know, yes, you know, I'm a registered art therapist, Kate is a certified music therapist, and you're going to be learning how to express yourself in this way and maybe even how to facilitate creativity with your clients, but you cannot advertise yourself as a, you know, a licensed expressive arts therapist. And so we do a lot of educating around the differences, because I don't think people mean harm. They don't realize it. So that's been a big part of our role.
And Bodhi had the good point that people are doing it anyway. For a while, I was really apprehensive. I was like, I don't think we should be, you know, sharing the things that we would do, because people will like do them themselves, or, you know, whatever that thing you learn in grad school of like being really protective of your therapy. But people are doing it anyway, and so they might as well know what's appropriate and ethical.
Right. And how to go forward if they do really like this and they want more training. Mm-hmm. How could they do that? But I think that's what scared me, is that people were doing, like, I literally in my office here, I had somebody down the hall from me put up a sign that said art therapy on their door, and they had no training in art therapy. They just like to be creative. So they were using more arts as healing, but, you know, not realizing, I don't know. It just seemed important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that thought process too, of like, people are doing it already. Mm-hmm. So like, you might as well like offer the education to support people, but then also to advocate the, like, that edge of scope of practice and what that looks like and what our training looks like.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes. So now you guys have expressive wellness. Mm-hmm. And what are some of the things, I think, you know, you've touched on that, of how it's grown and, you know, this beautiful place of how it came to be. What are some of the things that you offer in that?
Well, I think it was funny because Kate, it was like the year 2020 where we were like, okay, like we're already doing this together. Yeah. Other organizations are hiring us together. We're already a duo. Let's just like do this. So we created our website and we started more formally kind of putting it out there. And we did one retreat in person.
And which it had been, well, it had been what, like 5 or 6 years of us working together though, right?
Yes.
And yeah. So this was just like formalizing a business.
Like, how do we give ourselves a name and.
Yeah.
Yes. Put the hard stamp on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we had that, right, the one in-person retreat.
We did it, and it was amazing. It was so beautiful. We did
about that from someone who went. I think from several people, who were like, it was so amazing.
We left there like, yes. And it seemed like people were like, this is what we want. We're craving time to come together in community and be creating art and music and sharing and being vulnerable together. And then I think we did that like in February.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
just a few weeks before.
Yeah.
And I remember then, people even kind of joking like, oh, we shouldn't hug or, you know, like look out.
We had no idea. So Kate and I planned on, we had a lot of gigs lined up to go work with really consulting with different organizations and schools. And all of a sudden everything went away. And we realized, okay, I guess we are going to learn how to do this virtually. So that's really been our learning this year.
Which doesn't feel ideal just for the modality and like the, you know, tangible effects of arts therapies. But in some ways it's great because we used to drive, what, like hours and hours and lug so much stuff with us for these
trainings. To other states.
So we're kind of like, okay, well, it's a little easier in some ways, but
some benefits.
It's hard. I mean, these virtual ones, I'm like, okay, get out your drum. And if you don't have a drum, body percussion.
Use the table.
It's interesting. So we do have a retreat coming up. This next one we have is, when is it? Saturday, February 27th.
Yeah.
And it's from 9 to 3:30, and we're honoring the full moon at this retreat. And so it's going to be our first experience with a full day virtual creative experience. But we have led several series, expressive wellness series.
Yeah.
So we know what we're doing at this point. And the other thing we do is we offer, which is what we had done this past year, is these, what would you call them? Like a, well, expressive wellness what do we call them?
I don't know. Creative
practices.
Oh, the series.
Our creative practices series.
Creative practices. Yeah. And those we usually do, you know, like 5 or 6 weeks of experientials. And then the last week is sort of a clinical overview with, you know, the research behind everything and explanation. And so anybody that isn't a clinician just comes to the experiential part. And the clinicians have to do it in order to go to the training. So. They get to feel how uncomfortable it is so that if they just learn about it and then they try to bring it to their client and it goes really poorly, they know why.
It's so important that we have to do the things that we ask people to do. Like we have to experience that to, you know, to know what it feels like to be a beginner again or to be vulnerable. Like you said, Bodhi, like just like having that space again to connect with that. So it's so nice to have that as such an important element.
Yeah.
And what we learned is that, well, there were all these therapists that were getting all these books. You know, there's all these books with these like cookie cutter, like recipe, and they're like doing this stuff. And like, you know, they're one of the agencies I worked at, the therapists were doing the book and they were hanging up their clients' artwork in the hallway. And we've had people at our trainings, you know, bring us pictures like on their cell phones that they're taking of their arts, their clients' artwork. And so like, in that sense, we're so glad that we're actually helping educate. And it was just allowing people to really, like Kate said, just honor the simplicity that comes with just being able to express yourself this way and how that feels to be seen and to be heard. And we've learned to kind of package it. So we're just teaching some really, really concise tools so that when you come to one of our experiences, you leave with a few tools that you feel pretty grounded and pretty clear about and have some research behind it, versus like, here's this, all these ideas you could do, go try it. You know, we're really trying to help, I guess, ground people into what the heck they're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that foundation of the theory or the knowledge, research, whatever it is, mm-hmm. to like hold your footing. And then so much easier when you can bring those, like the doing in once you have your foot somewhere with some of that foundation.
A lot of the therapists that join these trainings don't have a lot of arts experience themselves. So they're like, we know that the arts are powerful and we want to just like listen to music with our clients. So it's trying to sort of reformat a training for people that might not have done the art themselves, which mm-hmm. is interesting. It's very different than like, you know, an artist coming to the training. It's therapists. So it's just sort of a whole different way of thinking, I guess. And we used to really overdo it. Like we would plan, you know, in a 4-hour training, we'd be like, and then this, and then this, and then this. And I was like, they don't need all of this.
This right. They could even.
So we've toned it down a little bit.
I think we've toned it down a lot. And I feel like we also ultimately discovered that, yes, we're hoping to kind of like consult and guide therapists that are incorporating creativity in their practices anyway. But ultimately, we really want to help people find how they express themselves or how to help heal themselves. So almost like just helping teach people daily practices that maybe they could use forever.
Yeah, that's great self-care.
Mm-hmm. Such good self-care. It can help in so many realms. Mm-hmm. Yes. That is awesome. I love that. So if someone was to go to one of the workshops, it sounds like it's there. You're going to get like the experiential part of it, of like tangible things that you can walk away with and like turn around and implement. But you're also going to get that balanced foundation of, this is what this means. This is what arts therapies are. And you've kind of got like this, I guess, kind of umbrella of things in those workshops that you guys are doing.
Yeah, I feel like the most important thing that we've kind of found is like helping people to embody these experiences and having it be coming through them. And that's the only way that they're really going to learn and they're actually going to do it. Because how many trainings have Kate and I, and probably you, Kate, as well, gone to, and you're like, oh, this is so cool. And then you get home and you just completely forget and you just never do it. Or you have all the slides and all the packets and you just don't look at them.
Yep. Yep. So many.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we add the research afterward. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's mostly about the experiential.
Yeah. Yeah. What ways have you guys found with, you know, art and music? How does those two modalities complement each other in those experientials? How is that, like, what is that balanced? What does that kind of look like in those scenarios?
They're fun to combine. I'm trying to think back to our retreat we did last year, how we combined them. But a lot of it is like, you know, if you're listening to different styles of music, different genres or tempos or moods, what does the visual art that you're creating while you're listening look like? So if, you know, if the music changes and you're not really paying that much attention to it, but it's actually really affecting you in so much that you're visualizing it on a piece of paper, and then you look at it later and you're like, oh, I did really change my mood based on what I was hearing without thinking about it. So I think just kind of experiencing like the auditory versus the visual is a big part of it. But I'm trying to think how we combined.
We've done so many. When I feel like we have a theme. This is kind of how we've gone. We have a theme, and then we just intuitively kind of feel like, you know, like a clinical intuition that we have in working with our clients, like what would fit this theme. And then so it might be Kate that starts or me that starts, and then we just kind of piggyback. So on the flip side, Kate, we've had people express their art and then create a sound from that art, or a drum beat, or so it's just like helping people multidimensionally express. And it's really powerful. We often forget in the materials to remind people to bring tissues, because, you know, these modalities really, really get you at your heart and at your core. And but yeah, I feel like that's been part of this fun. It's been a big playground for Kate and I, and it's also been so natural.
Yeah. Our last series was transitions. That was our theme, and that was great because it was, I mean, a lot of people have switched jobs or just kind of life has changed a lot, not necessarily by choice. So we did a transitions theme, and it was just really interesting to see how people responded to either modality or both modalities. And one of the reasons it's good to have both is because some people are super freaked out by one or the other. And so when they're coming to this, they're going to experience both. And so we get some people who have never tried either thing. And we have some people that are like, I'm here for the art, or I'm here for the music, but I really don't want to do the other. And then they try it, and it's, you know, it's a great experience.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been amazing. And especially the people that come and they're like, I don't feel comfortable with art or music. And they're just like, but they're like, this is something I haven't tried, or I, you know, I have a lot of clients that really like to be creative in this way, so I want to support them. And yeah.
And I think as more research comes out about art and music therapy and other types of therapy, people read about it and then they're like, oh, this is really effective, and I don't know how to do it, but I have clients that could benefit. And especially when we're talking about rural parts of Maine, it's not like you can just call the nearest art or music therapist and refer your clients. That doesn't always exist. So it is great to have some kind of toolbox to offer that, you know, if you have teenagers that might really respond better to something as a buffer.
Right.
And the virtual thing opens that up a little better, I think. It prevents us from traveling, but it also makes other people not have to drive all the way down to, you know, mid-coast or southern Maine to learn about things. It's a good benefit.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had somebody from like out of the country that came to our last
Canadian person, and
which was pretty cool.
Someone on the west coast. It's great.
Yeah,
a full connection from all over. That really, I think we were talking about that before too, of just the connection that we can have with, you know, telehealth, and that distance doesn't, you know, matter as much there, which is really nice to know that we can connect to more people.
Yeah.
Yeah, as uncomfortable as it's been, it's also opened up a lot, and we've learned a lot.
The learning curve. Yeah. Learned a lot today. Just
no learning.
It's so funny. I mean, I'm a percussionist. Like, my undergrad degree was in classical percussion. So I use it a lot anyway. You know, it's such an accessible instrument for people that aren't musicians. But that means a lot of my work with my clients is usually drumming and percussion based. And so over Zoom, it's just hilarious to try to do stuff like that with the delay, you know, and I'm always guessing. I'm like, okay, I think I'm a beat behind them, so I'm going to like just think a beat ahead to try to match the client. And it's really not the way that you work as a music therapist. You're usually actively listening and responding in time. So it's been really funny to just learn these virtual skills, but they're not my favorite.
Yes.
I'm ready to go back.
Yeah.
Some in-person. I feel like they have made us, at least I know that they've made me grow, even like as a musician, in ways I didn't think I would have to grow, of like being a beat ahead and then playing in that while thinking, you know, like different, where I'm like, I'm better musician, this is really hard and frustrating, but I'm, you know. And I imagine that's with, you know, so many arts that we're having to really think outside of the box.
I had a mom come on to the Zoom call with one of my clients. She just wanted to like see what was happening, and she was like, there's such a delay. She was like, don't you hear the delay? And I was like, oh, I hear it, but they don't.
it's very funny. Much there. Yeah. Have you had to adapt a lot with that now, doing like the virtual workshops? What ways have you both adapted in that way with a workshop setting? What does that look like?
Well, one thing is we used to bring like the instruments, the art materials, like Kate said, we kind of schlep in with all of our stuff. And now we try to really find ways that people can use things they have at home.
Yeah, which makes it more accessible, I think. And then it's also just a matter of building expectations and creating a comfort level where it's like, it's okay to go off screen if you need to, or like to just relax, like we're not filming this. Just trying to create that relationship is a good way to model. Also, like, if you're going to be seeing your clients virtually, how can you set it up so it's safe and comfortable and appropriate? It's hard though, and it's hard to keep people's attention, you know, when we're doing like a day long retreat. It's like, all right, we have to build in breaks and we have to build in some movement and find ways to share when we haven't really had the ability to build rapport with each other. So just trying to create a safe and welcoming virtual space is, I think, where we start. And then especially in the 6-week series, it's a little bit easier as we go along. People get really comfortable and connected to each other. But
oh, that's the best too, seeing that like community growth between everybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Special.
Yeah.
It really is.
And that the arts like facilitate that connection and mm-hmm. that vulnerability, you know, having some of that in those places of how much that can connect people.
Yeah, it's amazing to see how people, it feels like in these series, have been so brave. Like, remember, I think there was one girl and she was like, just want to sing my response. And we were like, okay.
Do it.
And it was like, yeah, beautiful. It was just amazing.
Yeah. That's really cool. I think it, for some people, I mean, some people are at home and they've got like 3 kids and they're a small space and there's not a lot of privacy. But for some people, the virtual setting allows them a little bit more space for bravery because they might be in their living room and they're like, I'm going to just like turn my camera off and sing really loud and see what happens. And it's awesome. Yeah. It depends.
You're in your safe space.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can be in your safe space anyway. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I love that. That's so awesome. Virtual, it's been a hard transition, but there's definitely some benefits to it at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. What do you both have? And this might be, you know, more personal or as you guys have come together to have been the benefits you found from collaborating with a therapist who is not in your modality. I think as music, art, dance, drama, we collaborate with our own modalities pretty frequently, but not as frequently outside and with other creative and expressive arts. What have you both found? What benefits have you found from that in this process?
Do you want to go?
I could say one thing is I feel like it keeps me reminded of the importance of really honoring these professions, because I have taught now with Kate or co-taught in different ways for 5 or 6 years, and I still would not ever consider calling myself a music therapist or even, you know, 90% of the tools I'm still learning, and these are ones that we co-teach. And so it just kind of helps me remember the vulnerability that other people are experiencing and that this is a journey. If you're interested in these modalities, this is like, and I guess that's part of what we've been teaching, is like, it kind of is like an extension of who you are anyway. So what Kate mm-hmm. is bringing, I've been craving, like this other aspect of music and sound and, you know, it helps heal me just to be with Kate and to see how the work that she's doing. She's so amazing. Like, she is just like, she's gonna just go on and on. But yeah, she's just like really inspiring. She inspires me. And the work that she does inspires me. So your turn, Kate.
I was also gonna use the word inspiring. same thing. Like, I still wouldn't feel comfortable doing visual arts experiences. So it's interesting that we're like presenting these to people, and it's good to be reminded, like, if I'm not ready to do this after hearing Bodhi describe it 12 times, then they're probably not really ready to do it either. But visual art is something I've always loved, like since I was a kid. And so I love getting to like be reminded of arts being playful, because my own modality has become sort of work related, whether it's performing or music therapy. And I can't say that I, for my own self-care or in my own free time, have a lot of energy to be like, oh yes, I'd love to sit at the drums and just noodle around some more, which is kind of a bummer, but I will get out collaging materials now and be like, oh, I want to collage and think about what Bodhi talked about. And I just think personality wise, like, she and I are both very passionate about what we do. and have a lot of the same sort of traits as a therapist, but then also come from sort of different backgrounds and trainings. And so it's great to have a balance of, like, I don't know, like, what's a good example? I think just some of the more spirituality stuff that I don't have a lot of experience with, like Bodhi will explain things to me and we'll balance in the group. If somebody asks about chakras, I'll kind of be like, I don't know. But it's just a great balance. Like, we still have the same sort of theoretical training and research-based work, and then care about our clients a lot. And so it's easy to kind of come together in that way. It's super exciting.
Yeah. It's just like we met and we were like, okay. And we took hands and we walked forward. Like the little girls at the beach that you see that are like, hey, let's be friends. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, let's go do this.
It's a great balance. I love it.
Yeah.
And it's weird that we lived so far apart too, because I feel like we would hang out a lot more.
It's true.
Yes. It's fun when we get to travel to do a presentation, because sometimes we get to stay in a hotel and it's like, oh my gosh, this is so fun.
Right. We can, like, talk about other things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we're, like, still getting to know each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of – well, and there haven't been until now, thankfully. But there have not been a lot of other music therapists. And I don't know if that's true of art therapists, but I just don't tend to run into a lot of I wouldn't say like-minded. I tend to run into a lot of like-minded people, but not people with the same experience. And so it's so awesome to get to collaborate with someone who gets it. And then, you know, like, we get it, and then we can expand and make it what we want, which is really fun. Yeah.
And I feel like we fill different roles for, you know, the experiences that we do, like with our planning. One person will do the advertising. One person will do the flyers and the email blasts, and, you know, so being in collaboration has honestly been easy.
Yeah. Divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I love that point about, like, you both, you're like, you both get it too. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you just hit the ground running. Like, you know, we totally know you can just, like, move forward. There's not that big introductory beforehand of, like, this is what the art therapies are, or, you know, no, it's not quite this or this, but you're just already on that level together, and then you can just, like, forge ahead.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And we're comfortable with each other. I mean, I've worked with other, or tried to work with other people where it's sort of awkward, and then, like, these ethical things come up, and I have to be like, how do I address this ethical issue with this person that is doing something that I think is harmful? And that never happens with us, hopefully.
Yeah.
So far.
But if I feel like we're both
handle it. It feels like we were in alignment, because we were both, like, I was bringing awareness in Maine to what art therapy even is. Kate was bringing awareness in Maine to what music therapy even is. You know, the first 7 years of my practice, or not even my own practice, but doing this work, nobody even knew what the heck it was. It wasn't really on TV. And so we both, I guess that's when we met at the Creative Arts Conference. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, we're kind of like soul sisters in a way. We're doing the same thing with our modalities. Like, we respect the importance of education.
Yes. Yes. And that you were just, like, on parallel paths, but you just quite hadn't quite met yet at that point, literally.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's like, so powerful.
I'm smiling about it.
Well, it's funny because
go ahead.
I was going to say, we, every time we do something together, we're like, oh, this is exactly what we want to be doing. Like, it's just so fulfilling to learn from each other, to bring art and music, and to bring community together, and to help people learn how to heal and help their clients in a grounded way. And, like, there's nothing more that we'd rather be doing. Well, maybe, I don't know. I'm not sure about you, Kate, but.
No.
I wanted to, like, take a screen grab of when I asked you about both about what inspires you about, you know, because you both are just smiling, so, like, you could feel I could feel it just by looking at you, and it's just so awesome to have that. And I think that, like, you know what, you've both kind of touched on that, you know, inspiring with each other, but then, you know, we're all housed under creativity, and, like, that bigger element of what we love and advocating for helping other people and how the arts are so healing. And it's just so rewarding to find other people who are right there with you on that journey.
Yeah. It's awesome.
And we so appreciate this opportunity for you to be asking us these questions and just to come together to talk about it. Because I feel like for so many years we've just been doing it, that it's kind of nice to reflect and talk about what we do.
Yes. And I hear so frequently, like, a lot of listeners, I think, want to learn more about if it's like you had both talked on too, or, you know, we might be like, I'm a music therapist, so I bring a lot of music into my work, but I like to do visual arts for myself and like wanting to expand or like feed our other creativity selves. But it's so nice when we can do that with connection of the therapy, like we have that therapeutic connection where we can hit the ground running with that. And so many listeners want to, I think, talk more about that of, you know, not moving outside their modality, but just kind of expanding or looking on the other side. And you guys are already doing it and have been doing it. So that experience is so valuable for everyone to hear.
Cool.
Yeah, I definitely recommend collaborating and finding communities to be exploring. It's really important.
Yes. Do you, either of you, have any, like, is there any advice you would give other creative arts therapists who are looking, whether it's to find another, you know, therapist to co-lead with or collaborate with, any advice or resources, tips, anything you have found in this journey?
How to find your artistic soulmate.
Yes.
I know, right?
I think it's a once in a lifetime. Yeah, I think you're right, Kate, though. Like, find somebody that resonates with you, that you just jive with, that you enjoy actually spending time with.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to look in weird places. I mean, this is not how I found Bodhi, but I feel like sometimes at least music therapists kind of cordon themselves off a little bit. I don't know how to describe that, but it becomes like it's us versus everything else. And I found some really interesting people through NOAA, the National Arts and Health Organization, who aren't necessarily therapists, but they're, you know, trying to use arts in healthcare settings. And a lot of those people are incredibly well-intentioned and incredibly professional, and just, you know, they're doing something a little bit different. So it's interesting to see what's happening like outside of our own little bubbles. I think that's an important way to find collaboration and also advocate for your own profession. I don't know how I would ever find another Bodhi though. So
I know life would be so empty without you, Kate. I would just recommend if you're inspired to collaborate, kind of like you found us, Kate. You know, just reach out and have lunch with people, have tea with people, virtual tea, get to know people, and then just try something out. And it might be just one time, and that's okay, because sometimes everybody has different things going on. But it's like, I know, dating. Kate and I have both done a lot of different things. What's that? It's like dating.
Just quite right.
Collaboration. but I would recommend, definitely connecting. I think in general, like, this podcast is amazing. Like, it's time for us to know each other, you know, and be friends.
And not be afraid to share ideas. I think that was like, I feel like I got trained in this like fear-based idea that like we own intellectual property of some kind, which is like, you know, I'm not going to say a bad word, but it's BS. It's not true. And so just being more open-minded and excited to share things rather than being protective of like different concepts, I guess. That's something I feel like isn't a huge part of the music therapy education that I received, and it would have been more helpful to learn how to be collaborative. For multiple reasons, you know.
That scarcity mindset, I resonate with that a lot, but that was just, whether it was like a felt sense that was just kind of passed down from professor to student of like, oh, be really careful, or you own this, or advocate, that then it ends up isolating. And it's like that scarcity mindset rather than abundance of,
yeah,
we're so much stronger together. And yeah, I mean, hearing your friendship, I feel like even listeners can just hear the amazingness of it, you know, and like what beautiful things can come from connecting with other, you know, other creative arts therapists.
Definitely. I feel like that's part of what we missed a long time in this state, is just our community, people that speak the same language. Like Kate said, we're trained in different modalities, but like you said, Kate, it's under this umbrella of creativity and so just having our tribe.
There's a lot of them. I actually think even prior to the conference, we met at that, there was like a visual art therapy sort of self-care group, which I got invited to like as an honorary member, because at the time there were no other music therapists. So it would be kind of like if all the music therapists got together and just like played music for fun and kind of like maybe shared a goal of theirs. And that's what the art group was like. And I was like, this is beautiful. Such a great idea. I think Steph was running it, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember I sat across from you.
Yeah.
I love that.
Remember our first moment where we locked eyes? I'm just kidding.
First date.
And maybe you called me from there. It's all a blur at this point. Yeah. I think maybe you reached out and you were, I think that's how we met.
It was a cool example of like, you know, that was a nice supportive group. It was people who may have had small, you know, private practices in the same area. And so could have thought like, I don't want to interact because I'm trying to like, you know, keep my own clients or whatever. And instead they came together and supported each other and sort of peer mentorship. I think that's really cool.
That's good advice. Yeah, put together a group. And now with Zoom, you could do it virtually.
Yeah.
From anywhere across the country. I mean, there's no limits with that now. Yes. Yes. I love that. That's such great insight and advice too, from to encourage people, just go for it. Reach out, search for people, and make those connections. It's so worth it.
Exactly. And make it your own. Yeah. You know, I think we tend to compare ourselves to what other people are doing. And what Kate and I have had to learn is just, how do we just be ourselves and do what feels right and support each other? And
you should like include that Motown song right now. The reach out. Reach
out. Insert here.
That could be the closing song. Love
it. Yes. With a montage of, I can see like visual montage happening. Oh, I love it. Well, before we close, I wonder if, and this is a total on the spot question, but I'm curious if either of you can share maybe one of your favorite moments of either collaborating together, whether it was, you know, something that was just really hilarious or beautiful from working together, or an experience that came from a workshop that was really beautiful and just really one of those things I think that fills your passion bucket of wanting to keep doing this.
Ooh, can I share two things?
Oh, please.
Yeah. You can share five. Go.
I think the funny one is just how many times we went back and forth when we used to do these like day-long trainings of whether or not to do a PowerPoint. And like we wouldn't do one, and then all the reviews would be like, we wish there was a PowerPoint. So then we would do one, and the reviews would be like, we wish there wasn't a PowerPoint.
You're so right.
I still laugh about that because it's still a thing. It's like, should there be slides or should there not? So that's my funny one. And then the beautiful one, I think, was at the in-person retreat we did last February. There was this moment at the end where everyone had made these little – I forgot what they were called – these little boxes with things.
Oh, our personal shrines?
Personal shrines.
Our self-compassion.
They were so beautiful, and everyone put them out to kind of look at. And then each person – there were also all these instruments and sort of noisemakers in the middle, and everyone got to – choose something to sort of represent their own shrine sound wise. And it just became this unspoken, like one person went and played a little bell, and then someone else went up and played a drum, and then someone else did something with their voice. And it was just this really beautiful piece of music that came together out of nowhere with a bunch of people who aren't musicians, you know. And I just loved that. We didn't record it because we didn't plan to, but it was so mm-hmm. lovely. I was like, oh, I want more of this.
Yes. Power in the moment. Wow.
Yeah. I feel like it's fun when you have a group of people that they look at you, you know, as you're teaching, they look at you with that like deer in headlights, kind of like, I'm not in the mood to do anything creative. Like and then we go around and say, oh, why are you here? Well, I'm not here because I like art or music, or I don't like art, or I don't like music, or, and then just by the end, yeah, that's what people will say. I just needed credits and this was being offered. And so, yeah, at the end, you know, really seeing people express something that they couldn't have ever planned. And, you know, there is a fine line. We do let people know this is not intended to be therapy, you know, where this is like psychoeducation, experiential. So we really, like Kate said, having safety is really important, but also recognizing that being creative brings up emotions. And, but yeah, just when we see people really express themselves and really get it, where they're like, whoa, this is powerful stuff. And then they get that, like, that craving or that hunger. Or the people that are like, oh my gosh, I haven't watercolored in 30 years. Or yeah. I've never played a drum. Ooh, and Kate brings out all the drums and they're, you know, they look like they're 3 years old, just banging on the drums. And it's like you see people like remember and wake up. And that's really fulfilling.
Remembering and waking up. Yes. That's such a beautiful, like, I think that circles back to what you said towards the beginning, Bodhi, is like that playfulness or that childlike wonder, like when you can see that like turn on for someone, that is just so wonderful to be a part of.
Yeah. We all leave feeling like, yay, I just had the best play date ever.
We just created all this goodness. So, and you earned credits while you were doing it.
That's right. That's right. Or you made new friends or learned a new skill. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. Well, I wonder if both of you can let us know, and I'll put this in our show notes too, so listeners, there are easy links where they can just go, you know, click and find your website, or if you're on social media or your email, but where are good places for listeners to find you and reach out and connect?
Yeah, our website is expressivewellness.org. And I think all our social media is just called that too, Expressive Wellness, but it's all linked there. And then my website is Maine Music and Health, same Instagram and Twitter and everything. And Bodhi's is?
And mine is Conscious Art Therapy, and I have Conscious Art Therapy on Facebook, and I think on Instagram I'm just Bodhi Simpson, But yeah, I'm Bodhi Simpson, art therapist in Maine. This is Kate Beaver, music therapist in Maine. We're the only Kate and Bodhi art and music therapists in Kate Beaver and Bodhi Simpson. So yeah, just look up our names in Maine and you'll find us.
Yes, I love it. This has been so, so wonderful. Just thank you both so much for sharing your insight. And it's so awesome to hear your passion. I think it's like you can hear it, how passionate you are about this topic. Yeah, so thank you both so much.
Thanks for having us. This is awesome.
Yeah, this is really fun. It's so good to meet you.
Yes. I'm going to pause our recording. All right. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I loved talking with Kate and Bodhi and just love seeing what they're doing and how they're bringing a collaborative artistic approach to the community and to clinicians. It's so cool what they're doing. And I hope that you found some inspiration in there too, to reach out to your other, you know, creative arts friends across the aisle and make the connections. I mean, if you can't get more inspired by how much Kate and Bodhi just treasure each other. And I think that we can find that so much when we reach out to other creative people. That's what keeps us creative too. We get so much inspiration, like Kate and Bodhi said, from being around creative people. So reach out. Again, always reach out to, you know, guests that come on the show. They are always down to hear from you. So reach out to them. Always feel free to reach out to me. I love creating a community. That's a big part of what we want to do here at Creative Therapy Umbrella. Is create a community. So finding ways to connect with each other and inspire each other and reach across the aisle to each other and get to know each other, because we're all really under that umbrella of creativity, which is a powerful force. Just a reminder that Out of the Music Box is still on sale. It'll be on sale for a few more days. And that is a course I created all about bringing more creativity into your sessions, bringing in into your music therapy sessions specifically. So for music therapists, you can get 6 CMTE credits for this course, and it's specifically for working with kids, bringing in, you know, different things into your music therapy sessions, such as art and sensory play and movement and dance and nature and creative writing and stories, and really bridging, finding that space between as music therapists where we can bring in some other creative modalities, but do that within our scope of practice, and also learn the edge of our scope of practice. And when we do need to reach out to other awesome creative clinicians, which I love doing. So that course is still on sale. There is a link to that in our show notes. All right. And a reminder too, if you've got a minute and you can subscribe, rate, review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast, that really, really helps us out a lot. It makes other people see us who are looking for the content that we're creating. So that is a huge way that you can support the show. Just leaving a simple review, you know, putting on those stars. And also, if you ever want to reach out, I love hearing from you. Kate@creativetherapyumbrella.com. I'd love to hear what you have to say. If you have a guest in mind, if you want to hear more about a topic, anything you'd like, I would love to hear it because you are a big part of this process. All right, I am wishing you all the best for the rest of your week, weekend, whenever you are listening to this. Thank you again for being a listener and a supporter. I'm endlessly grateful, and I just can't say it enough. I'm endlessly grateful. Take care, and of course, be creative.